I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our Daily Communion Meditation, where today we're talking about every good and perfect gift. In James chapter 1, it says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of the heavenly lights. We've been talking lately about how God has this abundant supply for our lives, about how heaven is the storehouse of his bounty, is what it says in Deuteronomy. Heaven is the storehouse of his bounty. And I believe God has these good and perfect gifts for our life. He's got them stored up in heaven. Now, he's got some gifts for us in the age to come, I believe, as well. But I believe he also has some gifts for us in this life now. He's got waiting for us in heaven. Now, how do we receive these gifts? Jesus says, ask and you shall receive. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. I think this process of just simply asking him for these good and perfect gifts that he has for our lives. And then we got to be single-minded in our faith. Because earlier in the book of James, in James chapter 1, before this verse of scripture that we're going to look at today, it talks about how we need to ask of God, but we can't be double-minded. We can't expect to receive anything from God if we're double-minded. Just getting single-minded in our faith today. We're going to be asking him for these good and perfect gifts that he has for our life, that he's got stored above for us. Taking communion over that today. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I pretty much had no spiritual life whatsoever. Had no connection to God. Wasn't really interested in the things of God. Was busy doing life on my own, doing my own thing. But life really wasn't going the way I wanted it to go. I was stressed out all the time. All this weight and pressure on me. I was really seeking after truth. I was running my personal training gym business. And really wanted to help our clients get better results, wanted to get better results for myself and our clients. And so I started traveling all over the country, studying with the best health and fitness experts that I could find. But I really wasn't finding what I was looking for. I just got to the point where my business was very up and down, struggling month to month. And I remember walking around the neighborhood with my wife one evening, telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way to live. There's got to be more to life than this. Shortly after that, I came across a challenge to read one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. Proverbs has 31 chapters. So on day one of the month, you read Proverbs chapter one. Day two of the month, you read Proverbs chapter two. You keep going like that till you get to the end of the month. And then you start back over again. I've been doing that for a few months. God started to work on me, starting to renew my mind about some things. Then one day, this verse in Proverbs 13:22 just seemed to jump off the page at me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we can pass on to future generations? And after some time of thinking about it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing we could pass on would be wisdom or teaching or training for how to truly live. And so I made a commitment that day. I'm going to create manuals. I'm going to create lessons and systems and teaching and training for all the different areas of life, for areas like purpose and health and family and finances, order, time, and community. But really, when I got started, I had no clue where to start. So I began seeking God. And I believe this whole program we have now, the Abundant Life Blueprint, was something he had stored above for me in my own life and for all the people who are part of it now as well. But started seeking after him. He began to supply. He began to show up and teach me and train me. And it wasn't always easy. I went through a lot of just learning and times of growth, a lot of situations that weren't the easiest. Some times of struggle, but through it all, God was teaching me and he was training me just this different way to live. A lot of it was just me unlearning my old ways and learning to do things in God's way rather than my old ways. But over the course of about 10 years, it turned into this whole program we have called the Abundant Life Blueprint with books and courses and partners. And out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important thing is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. Has the ability to just turn the tables, to turn things around and change the trajectory of our lives going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir his sacrifice into our mind in remembrance, make his sacrifice active and relevant right now in this present moment today. It helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And personally, I found communion is this amazing way to take these promises that God has made. For example, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of the heavenly lights. To take promises like this and to receive them, to activate them in our lives, and to have a marker in time where you say, you know what, that was the moment in time where I believed I received that promise from God. And we just experience Him helping us to walk it out from that point on. Now, it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep honor and reverence and awe and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember the lead up to the cross. God didn't have to send Jesus. He could have left us on our own, separated from Him forever. But He chose the way of love. He chose to send His one and only Son. Jesus was willing to come. He's willing to humble Himself, even unto death on a cross. He's rejected by His own people. He's betrayed. He's spit on and whipped and hit, ridiculed and mocked. Worst of all, I believe He's separated from God, and the cup of God's wrath was poured onto the body of Jesus. He was destroyed for us. But then on the other side, He's raised back to life. He's victorious over death, and that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. Can have this personal relationship with God, this new covenant relationship with Him. And I think it's important we remember both sides of that. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. Because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive, if we'll take it the right way, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and health tips, because I truly believe physical exercise, all the principles in health and fitness, are meant to teach us how to exercise our faith, to receive this grace by faith and experience God doing the work through us. Once we understand how to do that, we can take those same principles and apply them into the other areas of our life. So let's get started with our prayer, and then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank You for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of Your Son. I thank You for Your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank You that Jesus was smitten for us so that You could fight for us. And I keep asking that You, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know You better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which You've called us and the riches of Your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of Your power to us who believe, the same power that You exercised in Christ when You raised Him from the dead and seated Him at Your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And You put all things under His feet and made Him to be the head of the body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Father, I ask You to bless us, to make Your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in Your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive Your purpose and grace, Your love and Your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask You to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask You to keep Your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in Your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in You. We ask You to stretch out Your hand to heal and do signs and wonders, and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? How are we going to make today a masterpiece? We're going to get connected to the master. We have to have this eternal perspective with God, but our relationship with him has got to be brought down into today. To impact the things that we do, the things that we think about, the things that we speak today. And remember, masters of anything are simply masters of the fundamentals. That's where we talk about executing these four fundamentals and putting some fun into the fundamentals today, bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into these fundamentals today. So our first one, let's get positioned in the light. This is the on-off switch. And every day we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. There's no in-between. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. And we're going to start with humility. Jesus says, you want to become great in the kingdom of heaven? You got to humble yourself like this little child. Just simple, childlike, humble faith that just simply believes. To be able to receive from God, we got to believe and not doubt. We're going to humble ourselves like little children because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to let it flow through us. We're going to forgive ourselves. And we're going to walk in forgiveness with other people, giving them the same love and grace and forgiveness that God has given us. We're going to take our position in love today. Kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. We're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. It's one of the greatest expressions of faith. And it's one of the easiest ways to maintain our positioning all day long. And our positioning is a big deal. Because when we get in position, we're stepping into the light. We're stepping into Christ. Puts us in position to be able to receive all that God has for us. We want to receive these good and perfect gifts that God has for our lives. I believe we got to get in position first. Position to receive. Imagine a quarterback and a receiver. The quarterback's getting ready to throw a pass, and the receiver runs the wrong direction. God's throwing these good and perfect gifts our way, but we run the wrong direction. We get out of position. So when we take our position in the light, we're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has, and he gave it all to Jesus. He put it all in him. And it's available today to be received and to flow through us. His spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy, his time and finances, and so much more. It's all available to be received, but then we got to learn how to get it flowing through us in our life, to see the fruit of it and the result of it flowing through us in our life. That's where we talk about our second fundamental, which is to magnify the light. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. We're going to turn up the brightness of it. It's going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. It's also going to get this new covenant rooted and established in our hearts, where we have hearts that understand God's grace, to make us more fixed and consistent and immovable when the issues and pressures of life come our way. And to magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I think of it as meditation. And when I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. What are those things that we're just rolling over and over and over again on the inside? What are those things that we're just rolling over and over again that we're speaking about consistently? You've probably had some example before. You had some issue or problem. And the more you magnified that problem, the more you focused on it, it seemed like the problem grew bigger and bigger. Well, that same principle works in the other direction. If we'll learn to let go of those problems, to give them to God and to magnify him instead, it's amazing what can happen. Now, this is not, so how are we going to do it? How are we going to magnify the light? We're going to magnify God's word, his unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. We're going to magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our life. We're going to magnify every good thing that he put within us. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well, looking back at how far God has already brought us. Because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing to let those problems go, give them to God. And we're going to magnify him as bigger instead. We're going to stop toiling away in our minds. And we're going to rest and trust in him. But he does give us the choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, venting, complaining, pouting, magnifying the problems, magnifying all the ways people have wronged us, rather than resting and trusting in him. And that's where we're going to recognize the symptoms. Because wherever we're positioned is going to produce some symptoms in our life. When we're out of position, there might be the tendency to retaliate at people, to snap at them, to withhold good things that we know to do because we're mad with somebody or frustrated with somebody. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. And none of those are the way of unconditional love and grace. On the inside, you'll feel all this heaviness and weight and pressure, like it's all sitting on you, like it's up to you to figure it all out. Might have feelings of hopelessness or powerlessness or helplessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. You might say things like, this is always going to be the way it's going to be. It's never going to get any better. Low energy is another big symptom of this. I think of it like a black hole. It just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and the stress and the worry, the toiling away in our mind, trying to figure it all out. Dreading things in the future, envisioning all these worst case scenarios. When we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless and energizing because he's got his spirit and his power and his peace and joy and love, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy. It all just begins to flow through us. He begins to bring these good and perfect gifts into our life, these beautiful solutions to the problems that we face. They just begin to effortlessly set us free. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace that if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around again. Every day, life's throwing stuff at us. Happens every single day to try to get us out of position, to try to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. And it's learning to recognize those symptoms quickly and to turn it back around. How do we do it? We start with humility. Father, forgive me. I'm off track right now. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves. If we need to say we're sorry to somebody or reconcile with somebody, we take those steps. And then we just start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever is coming my way today with beauty and grace and poise. Help me to tap into it and cultivate it and see it flowing in my life at a greater level. You pray that simple prayer, you feel that weight just lift off you on the inside. You feel his peace and his joy and his love just begin to wash over you. And then our third fundamental, we've got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us, but we've got to stay tuned into him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. And lately, we've been talking about installing what we call some filters at the top of our journal. These filters are just short phrases, maybe a sentence that we keep rewriting every night before bed. And they keep reminding us of God's standard for our life, of installing a new way of doing things into our life, a commitment to God's standards in our life. So it might look like something like this. God is working continually for my good, and I'm going to do continually good for others. You keep rewriting that phrase over and over and over again, and then it reminds you. When you're tempted to stress or worry about something, wait a minute, God's working behind the scenes for my good. When someone does something to you that you don't like, they wrong you in some way, you're tempted to snap at them or retaliate or withhold something from them. You've got that reminder, wait a minute, God doesn't do that for me. He does continually good for me. I'm going to give this person the same grace God has given me. I'm going to just do good for them all the time. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get my positioning. And then to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen, reflect back over the day. Whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write those things down. It's important to get out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay tuned in throughout the day. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection with him, just take 1 to 2 minutes. Just slow down, take a deep breath, get aware of his presence with you. Get charged up, get powered up in him. Think of it like plugging a phone back in. to get powered up again. And then the final thing I've learned to do in my journal is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? It's our fourth fundamental. What do you know to do today? Let's take action on those things. Now I learned, sometimes I was getting out ahead of God because I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to figure things out, trying to force things to happen ahead of schedule. Instead of waiting for those good and perfect gifts to come down from above, I'm trying to solve the problems on my own. And I was getting out ahead of him. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. So I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Not the things I'm unsure of or still uncertain on. What do I know to do today? That becomes the plan for the day. Then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day. And we remember this very important principle, that the first thing out of our mouth sets the tone for the whole day. First thing out of our mouth every morning sets the tone for the whole day. And as I began to learn about this, I began to seek God. What's the best thing for us to say? And I feel like he was taking me back to the very beginning of the Bible, to Genesis chapter 1, and saying, what's the very first thing you see me speak in the Bible? Which is, let there be light. So I've started my day this way for a little while now. The very first thing in the morning, right when I wake up, the first words out of my mouth, let there be light. And then I like to add, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. We get connected to him and then we start walking out that plan with a willing heart and a good attitude and full confidence in him. Just that simple childlike faith. He's got some good and perfect gifts for this day today, I believe. And when we get to that place of confident faith, with all that doubt and unbelief removed, his grace just begins to surge through us. He begins to go to work. He begins to bring these beautiful solutions into our life. These good and perfect gifts from above just begin to show up in our lives. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything that God has for us into our lives. So let's take a look at these scriptures today. Every good and perfect gift. James chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Now, if you look earlier in James chapter 1, it tells us, if any of us lack wisdom, we should ask God. But we've got to ask in faith, not being double-minded, getting single-minded in our faith without all that doubt and unbelief. Because we can't expect to receive anything from God if we're double-minded. So it says, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. He's got some good and perfect gifts for us. We're just going to ask him today. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for these amazing promises and these good and perfect gifts. Every good and perfect gift is from above, from you. And Father, we're asking for every good and perfect gift that you have in our life that is from above, that you've got stored up just waiting for us. I just picture this, a father who's excited to give these gifts to his children that he's prepared. We're asking for those gifts today, Father. We just thank you for it. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Just take a moment to remember. Just kind of have your own personal time to remember and visualize. Let's visualize both sides of the cross. Visualize the lead up, the humility it took, the love it took for God and for Jesus to do this, the pressure that was on Jesus as he approached the cross, what he went through, hit and spit on and mocked and ridiculed and whipped, nailed to the cross, separated from God and the cup of God's wrath poured onto his body. But then he's raised back to life, and that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. Makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. Can approach God with freedom and confidence. He's got these good and perfect gifts for our life. Father, we thank you for this bread and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." The Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. He's released us from darkness. He's transferred us into the light, into the kingdom, into his kingdom. I just believe as we experience God bringing these good and perfect gifts into our life, what's it going to do? It's just going to help us to know him that much more. His goodness and his grace and his love that much more. So Father, we thank you for this cup. And ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take a juice. All right, health and fitness stuff. Taking care of our feet is a big part of health. How do we do that practically? What do we do? Number one, we start every workout. If you don't have our workouts, the daily communion workouts, you can go to our website, theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com. When you get on our email list there, you'll be getting access to the daily communion workouts. We start every workout by taking care of our feet. It's good to massage the feet a little bit on the bottoms of the feet first before the workout to get the feet opened up. I usually use just a marble or a lacrosse ball or something like that. Golf ball would work to just massage the bottoms of the feet to get them opened up. And then we start every workout with calf raises to get the blood circulating in our body better, because the blood tends to pool and get stuck down in our feet. And then I think it's good. I learned this tip from a guy who was 113 years old. And he said he got it from the Bible. Every night before bed, he would wash his feet. He'd wash his feet before bed. Then he'd take a pumice stone and rub the dead skin off of his feet. And then he'd rub his feet down with olive oil after that. And just that simple process, taking care of your feet, massage the bottoms of them, do some calf raises to get the circulation flowing through your feet better. And then washing your feet before bed every night. Just those simple things. They seem like all little things, but they can make such a difference. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.